Carrying on through Ephesians, it's chapter 5 tonight. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will bless his reading to each one of us. Amen.
Good evening. It's lovely to see you. It's been a bit of a shock over the last year or 18 months, not to discover that I'm old, but to discover that I'm not young anymore. The things I used to be able to do and recover from fairly quickly and easily are not so easy nowadays. When I was a young man, I used to play American football back in the 80s when it was very popular in this country to quite a high level. And this afternoon in the garden, Dan was around and Becca, and we got American football, and so I thought I'd tackle Dan. We were playing football. And I was suddenly, Dan, stand up for a second for me. Dan is not a wilting, small young man, is he? He's, and I tried to tackle him and really regretted it straight away afterwards. Over my life, I've climbed mountains and done rock climbing, and I've sailed and race sail boats, and I've jumped out of planes, and I've learned to fly, and all those things. And I still think that I can just go and do them exactly the same. And it's just slowly starting to dawn on me that it's not so easy nowadays. And if I can manage them, then it just takes me longer to recover afterwards. It's been a bit sobering. And over the last year as well, I've not been in the best of health. Through most of my life, I've been pretty fit person, pretty well person. But the last year and a half, I've not been in the best of health. When I got back from Nepal, because I was in Nepal, I don't even say it without somebody laughing. But when I got back, as you remember, I was ill. They thought I had malaria, and I was in Landoc Hospital, and they never really got to the bottom of it. But then after that, I had some sort of post-viral fatigue that just seemed to stretch on for months, and with that, some depression, and it just seemed to take forever to get over it. And then the last few weeks with a bad back. And I'm just realizing that I'm not so young anymore. And one of the things that came over this last year with getting a little bit older and not being so well is I've put on a stone of weight. I have. It's all here. And it's all here. I've put on a stone of whey. So I'm sort of going on a diet. I say sort of, because I'm really not used to dieting and I'm not very good at it. I keep thinking it'll start tomorrow. I saw Claire. I snuck out yesterday and bought a packet of Bombay mix to eat in the evening. And I saw her checking. She didn't know I was watching her. I saw her checking the calories on the bag. But I'm sort of on this diet, and the plan is that... You didn't say anything. Only because you know I'd have been rude. But the plan is that over the next few months now and over the next few weeks, I'm going to lose a stone. We'll get it off. We'll get back to where I want to be, about 12.7. We'll get it off, and I want to lose a stone. It'll be a process happening as I stand here before you week by week. If it all goes according to plan, you'll see my youth returning as I try and shed some of this weight. Some people view their Christian life like that. Oh, I was a pagan. I didn't used to believe in the Lord. I didn't used to follow the Lord. I used to be maybe in this area of sin. And now I'm in the process of becoming more Christ-like. There's things that bit by bit I'm shedding and putting aside. There's things that a little at a time I'm putting to one side. It's a process going to take a little while. And there is a sense in which that is true in the kingdom. There is a sense in which that is the case in some things. There is a process of becoming more Christ-like. However, there are some areas of transformation, of change, of leaving behind, which are meant to be instantaneous and complete. There are some things which are just simply incompatible with our confession that Christ is Lord. When we say Jesus is Lord, we've got to mean that he's Jesus is Lord. And there are some things which are just incompatible with our Christian profession. Paul says in the reading we've had tonight in Ephesians 5, verse 3, do not let there be even a hint of sexual immorality. This isn't something that you were once like that, and now little by little you're changing. And one day you'll be holy. He says, don't even let there be a hint of this. This is something that when we come to Christ, we drop. And he makes a whole bunch of, a list of things there. And there's things that he says, don't have anything to do with this. Don't mix with the people that do that. Don't be partners with them. Don't be involved in this. When you came to Christ, there was a change, a moving from one place to another. And he makes these two lists of what was the old life like and what is the new life supposed to look like. And often Christians think, well, this is a process of moving from one to the other. And Paul says, no, it's not. If Jesus is Lord, then some of these things have got to go. And they've got to go now. And they've got no part in our life. Paul starts this passage that we're looking at tonight with these words, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. The therefore ties it back to what we were talking about last week and what Jonathan was speaking to us about last week. Be imitators, therefore, of God, dearly beloved children, and live a life of love. I love the way he says it in the Message version, in Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible. He says it brilliantly. He says, watch what God does. And then do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Watch what God does, and then do it. You know the Nike advert? Just do it. Don't talk about it, don't think about it, don't contemplate it, don't debate it, don't argue about it. Just do it. Be imitators of Christ. Watch what God does and do it. And learn proper behavior like a child does from their parents. And from that start, he goes on and he lists these two things, these two lists, those that we've got nothing to do with, that we've left behind, that belong to the darkness, which belong to the old life, and those things that we're supposed to be like, the new person, the new man, the new woman. And he makes this list, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. The Greek word pornea, where we get pornography from. He says, or any kind of impurity. The Greek word, akathasia. Don't let there be any sort of impurity. And don't let there be any greed, pleonexia. Don't let these things have any part of your life, sexual immorality, impurity, or greed. And I mentioned those three words at the beginning of the list and mentioned the Greek words because actually he's just been talking about them a few verses earlier in the passage that Jonathan was reading, was preaching from last week in verse 19 of chapter 4. Those three words all appear, but the NIV doesn't translate them as such. It translates them differently. And so we miss the point that Paul is emphasizing this. When in the Bible it says something twice and says it twice close together, we ought to sit up and pay attention. And the NIV, by translating it differently in verse 19, using different words, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality and indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust. The NIV uses different words and we lose the impact. Paul is saying, don't have anything to do with sexual immorality, with impurity, or with greed. Sexual immorality, porneia. The word comes from the word in Greek, which means prostitute or harlot. If you've got a King James version of the Bible, you'll see there it says, don't have anything to do with harlotry. The word is, don't prostitute yourself. Don't give your body over. Don't surrender it to the old way of life. Don't let yourself be bought back into the old way of life. Don't prostitute your body by giving it up into sexual immorality. Paul uses that word in a number of places. If you've got a Bible, you might like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or verse 18. It says, flee from sexual immorality. It's the same phrase that he uses. Flee from porneia, from prostituting yourself, from giving yourself up to the old style of life. We're going to come back to that verse in a few minutes. He says, don't have anything to do with that. It belongs to your old life. Impurity, akathasia, it means dirty. Kathario means to wash yourself. The kathario was the process of cleaning yourself when you went into the synagogue or into the temple. And the ah on the part turns it upside down. It says, don't unwash yourself. You were washed, you were pure, you were clean. Don't undo that. Kathario was the purity. Now, akathario, don't make yourself dirty again. And greed, pleonexia, plea for plethora, from plenty, from lots. Don't give yourself over to more than you can need or more than you can hold. It's not greedy for food in this context. In that sexual immorality and purity, it's greed for things of the flesh. Yes, food would be part of that. But for sex, for feeding your eyes with improper images. It says, don't give yourself up to these things. And he goes on with the list. Obscenity. Don't have anything to do with obscenities. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. This is not improper for God's people, nor should there be obscenity. Another word for filthy, it's got the same root in the Greek, or foolish talk. Don't give yourself over to foolish talk. Again, another Greek word, morologia. Logia, logos, speaking, the word. Moro means dull. Don't be stupid. Don't be dull in the way you talk. Don't talk about things which are not wise for Christians. You know what they are, Paul is saying. And coarse joking. Another Greek word, eutropalia. I like that one. It's got a specific meaning. The second part of that word means something that's witty, something that's clever. And the other part is saying, don't turn that upside down. Don't turn it back to front. The you part of it means to turn something upside down. Clever joking, when the joke is clean, is something good. It's something clever. It's something that we can enjoy. But he's saying, don't turn that upside down by taking something which is clever and witty and something which is wholesome and making it dirty. We should stay away from it. a couple of years back, somebody bought me for Christmas a copy of a DVD of a comedian, and it's still in its cellophane. It's still in its cellophane on the shelf, because I won't open it. It's the Scottish guy. What's his... No, the young man with a beard. Frankie Boyle. I won't even open it. I don't have anything to do with that filth. You know, there's comedians around who are clean and funny and witty. Jonathan's favourite comedian, a guy called Tim Vine. In fact, it's Tim a Christian.
Tim Vine's a Christian and Milton Jones.
Milton Jones as well. He's two favourite Christians. Sometimes the jokes are silly. Murder in a multi-story car park, wrong on so many levels. Or things like that, you know. No? No, right. Comedians who are witty and clever and not dirty, who are not turning upside down. Paul says, don't do these things yourselves. You just got it. Can you explain it to the rest afterwards? Because I don't think anybody else did. Paul says, not only don't do these things yourselves, but don't partner with them. Don't partner. Don't be involved with other people that are doing these things. Don't share with them. Not don't be involved with the people, because we need to be telling everybody the gospel. We need to be mixing with all sorts of people and bringing light into their situation and bringing good news. Be saying, don't partner with them. Don't get involved in the things they're involved with. Don't share with them. And he goes on and says, you know, you were darkness. That belongs in the old list. Now you're in light. He says, don't be unwise. Don't give yourself over to drunkenness. Not to drinking, but to drunkenness. Just take a moment with me. And I want to be quick tonight because, of course, we want to set up for the next service. But just take a look at that list. And then just think about your life for a moment. Can you say you have completely, instantaneously left all of that behind? I hope so. Looking around, there's people who I imagine can say yes. But maybe there's a few who couldn't say that, who need to know the power of Christ to break free completely. Are your TV habits, when everyone else in the house has gone to bed at night and you're flicking the channels, are your TV habits more in that side than the list we're going to look at? What about what you look at on the internet when nobody else is around? Is what comes out of your mouth always suitable for a Christian? When you're at work, do people know by what comes out of your mouth what sort of person you are? Do you partake in foolish talk, in coarse joking? Do you laugh at blue jokes when other people tell them? Are you going to see comedians that actually maybe you shouldn't be putting your money as a Christian in their pocket? Look at that list. And just say, God, is there something there that I need to look at? And then Paul has this opposite list of what it is to be a holy people. He says, you mustn't have any of these things because you are God's holy people. These things aren't proper for you. You're not in that part of the world anymore. That's not where you live. You are God's holy people. Your mouths should be filled not with coarse joking and obscenity and dirt and filth, but thanksgiving. If you're going to speak, say something that worships God. As you speak to one another even, do it in psalms, do it in hymns. Use phrases out of scripture as you speak to one another. He says that. He says, when you speak to each other, do it in psalms and hymns. So that all of your life is a thanksgiving. Because you're people of light. You've got more in common with goodness than you have with any of this other stuff. Righteousness is where you stand. You are right with God. So don't mix with this stuff. Truth, not distortions of the truth. Be wise and make the most of every opportunity. And most of all, he says, don't get filled with the things of the world. Don't get filled with alcohol. Don't get filled with the things of the world. Don't give yourself over to drunkenness. Don't be filled with liquor. But be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. why don't get drunk on wine? Is getting drunk on wine in and of itself bad? Paul is saying, well, okay, maybe that's not so good, but don't get drunk on wine because that's going to lead you somewhere else. That will lead you on to debauchery. If you're finding yourself drunk, then these other things become more likely. You've not just got the problem with your drink. You've then got the problem with the things that drink lead you into. He says, live in this side. Step over the line. I should have put a line down the middle. He says, you've left one. You've gone into the other. Step over the line. But if we're not under law, if actually doing good, if actually living a particular way is not what makes us better as far as God's concerned, if it's not going to make God love us more or make us more saved, then what does it matter? There were people in the ancient world who were saying, well, hang on, if we're saved by grace through faith and it's not what we do that matters, then why can't we get drunk? There were whole groups in the church who were saying, well, let's have sex with who we want. Because we're saved by grace. And the more we sin, the more grace there is. If we are doing these things, then God's just going to forgive us even more. And that's great. It gives God an opportunity to be wonderful. And Paul says, no, it's not quite like that. He says, don't do those things. It doesn't matter, not for God's sake. This isn't about God. It's about us. It's good for us to be living on that side of the line, not that side. God's not going to love us less or more, whichever side we find ourselves in. God loves us. Even when we were far off, he came and died for us. That's how much he loved us. When we were well in the left-hand column, God loved us. It's not about God and God's approval and God's love and God's forgiveness. It's about us and what's good for us and what's good for our lives. See, this list on the left falls into two categories. This list all comes down to one of two things. What do we do with our bodies? Oh, speak worship. What do you do with your body? And the other thing is, what do you do with your mouth? And that whole list falls into one of those two categories. What are you going to do with this body that God has given you? And what are you going to do with this mouth that was created to praise God? And that's important to understand, that whole list falls into one of those two categories, because the Bible says that those two things, what we do with our body and what we do with our lips, reflects what's going on in here. They may be outward things. They may be legalistic in a way of saying don't do that. But what goes on with those things reflects what's going on here. They're indicators of what's happening in your heart and in your guts. In the ancient world, they believed that the seat of the soul was in the guts. And the Bible says that what you do in those two areas, with your body and with your mouth, reflects what your inner being is. If you're struggling with those, it's because something isn't right on the inside. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Who are you sinning against? Are you sinning against God? No, you're sinning against yourself. Paul says when you sin sexually, the immoral person sins against their own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, but you're bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. What are you doing with your body? Because what's going on with that will reflect what's going on in your heart. Paul says the Holy Spirit's in there. Your spirit's walking with you. And the two can't be coinciding. And then he says with your mouth, or Jesus says, don't you know that whatever goes into your mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. What you do with your body, what you do with the mouth, reflects what's going on in your heart. And that reflects what your relationship with God is about. You might not think that telling a risque joke from time to time or occasionally getting too drunk to get home by yourself that you need help or covetously looking at somebody else's wife, or lustfully looking at somebody else. Your summer's here. People are more scantily clad. It doesn't matter to sneak a look. You might say those things aren't that important. But the scriptures say that reflects your heart. It reflects what's going on inside you. Paul had written in that verse that we looked at earlier, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. But do you not know that the body is, oh, I've read that, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So glorify God with your body. What's going on out there reflects what's going on in here. You know, there's a thing we get told, that all sin is sin. There's no such thing as big sins and little sins. That all sins are the same. That's not true. There is difference in sin. The consequence of all sin is the same. The consequence of all sin, whether you're stealing a paperclip at home or having an affair, the consequence at work or an affair, the consequence is the same. It's the separation from God. But the sins are different. And Paul says sexually immoral sins are different from other sins. They cause a bigger problem. You are carrying God's Holy Spirit around with you. How can you do that and then go and look at pornography or look at somebody else's partner or tell a filthy joke or get drunk? You wouldn't do some of that stuff that falls in the left-hand side in front of your mother. So why do you do it with God inside you? You wouldn't do it with your grandmother. So how can you do it with the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Paul says, you know, other sins are out there. But this sexual sin is in here. So flee from it. Run away from it. Get away from it as fast as you can. Paul says, listen, there's these two ways of living. There's the old way, which was darkness, and there's the new way, which is light. And he kind of leaves the question hanging in the air, which is, which do you choose? Which do you want? Which are you living? And I want to leave you with that same question hanging. It's not a slow process of moving from one to another with some of these things. It's, I've got to put these aside. Where does your life sit? And if it's a little bit leaning too far to one side, don't leave tonight without getting someone to pray with you. Amen. We are not our own. Because we were bought at a price. Therefore, let us honor God. May now God's peace and God's grace and God's mercy rest upon us. And may we go from this place prepared to be a witness to that saving love wherever we find ourselves this week. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.